Is walking meditation as quote unquote good as sitting meditation? Or is it just a poor second cousin? Yeah. Can one achieve the level of undistractedness that one needs to be able to investigate the human experience? Or is it part of the bigger picture of mindfulness for seven full days to experience stream entry? It certainly is a part of the bigger picture of mindfulness for seven full days, in the sense that, it's difficult to sit for 7 days and seven nights. So one has to change postures. One does walking. But it's also, as a meditation, it is as valid, useful, efficacious as sitting meditation. There's no real distinction. I mean, there is just by virtue of the posture, there is movement, physical movement with the walking meditation, so there will tend to be a bit more movement of mind, just because you're physically moving. And then with sitting meditation, there tends to be, because you're sitting still, then there is, by virtue of the posture, then there tends to be a bit more stillness. That may not be attractive or useful for different people, so that walking meditation is absolutely as valid a practice as sitting meditation, in the sense that one cultivates that continuity of attention, continuity of mindfulness. There can be a clarity of heart that arises that is just as solid and stable as the sitting meditation. So a lot of it depends on one's own preference. I know for, say, like in the stories of the great Thai teachers, then there's one of the great teachers who is considered enlightened, an arhant, as Lumpu Khao, and walking meditation was his preferred mode of practice. And he would do his day would be, I'd say, late after the meal, he would do about 3 hours walking meditation. Then he'd have a bit of rest during the midday. Then he'd do 3 hours of walking meditation. And then it'd be late afternoon, he'd have a shower, have some tea, whatever, have a bit of a break. Then he'd do 3 hours of walking meditation. Then he'd start sitting. So then it would... he was considered by everybody a great teacher, a great meditator. And we'll get a bit woo-woo here. After his cremation, as happens sometimes as with these great beings, is their bones will turn into relics, and Lumpu Khao's relics were the most incredible colors, like amethyst, and very purpley and clear, and incredibly beautiful. Just this tray of these gem-like relics. We were given one. I had seen pictures of his relics, and then we were actually given one years ago. It's in the back of the Buddha image, up at the ordination platform at Baigiri. He's a exceptional practitioner. There's also a nice story of him recounting his kind of appreciation of the place where he got enlightened. And it was up in the mountains of Chiang Mai, it was a cause of tremendous gratitude, because what started his, I mean, he was practicing very diligently, but then what started the chain of reflection that led to his awakening was reflecting around just the nature of rice, and just growing from something so small and then turning into something that was supported everything. And then he was leaving, and the place was just a very humble little shelter, really, up in the hills of Chiang Mai, and probably just bamboo and thatch, so very incredibly simple. But he said, reflecting on that simplicity of it and the gratitude he felt to his place and the generosity of the lay people who offered food and to support him, he really got a feeling for why the Bodhi tree, why the Buddha had such appreciation, and why the Bodhi tree has turned into a pilgrimage site. It's just this something simple, but. Because of its being a place of awakening, then it takes on this constellation of feelings and meanings of gratitude and appreciation, that's a very beautiful story. Okay.